There's no impact to Kluck One Inc. This is the General Income Trust is a separate entity.
Kluck One Inc. shareholders vote yes to partial liquidation. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. The Haines Assembly meets Tuesday night. At 5:30, the group meets as a committee of the whole to discuss an ordinance that changes mobile home registration requirements to make tracking mobile homes easier for assessors. The committee meeting was scheduled following the ordinance's second public hearing in early March. The regular Haines Assembly meeting follows at 6:30 p.m. at Assembly Chambers in the Public Safety Building. The borough holds a third public hearing for the ordinance raising dockage and wharfage rates at the Port Chilcoot Dock. Borough Manager Mark Ernest, in his bi-monthly report, is recommending an amendment eliminating the proposed increase to demurrage. The ordinance, as it's written, now raises storage rates from 15 cents to 85 cents per square foot per month after the allowed free time expires. Dockage and terminal tariff rates are also raised incrementally each year in the proposed ordinance. Borough Manager Mark Ernest and Haines Mayor Jan Hill might not participate in the meeting. They're in Washington, D.C. for an annual meeting with government officials. Kluck One Inc. shareholders have voted to liquidate most of the Native Corporation's biggest trust, worth $20 million. 79% of voting shareholders were in favor of distributing the payout, which will equal $500 a share, or $12.6 million total.
They got the message, put it that way. Board of directors I'm talking about. I'm glad our voices were heard.
Jimbo Stevens is one of those shareholders looking forward to the payout, which is scheduled to arrive April 21st by either mail or by direct deposit. He says some shareholders are considering investing the money, starting small businesses, paying for college, or making other large purchases. Other shareholders didn't think it was going to happen and are still considering what to do with the money.
Well, I've heard from as far as investing in gold, I myself am looking at possibilities of starting a store. Anyway, it'll definitely get people thinking, that's for sure.
The ballot count came out late last week following a recount of ballots. The vote was an official confirmation of survey results that came out last year that said shareholders were in favor of a distribution from principal. Ralph Strong is president of Kluck One Inc.
We do a lot of mail to our shareholders and keep them fairly well informed on what's going on. You know, they were the ones that filled in the survey last year, and then we sent them the results of the survey and said that we were going to do this distribution from principal as soon as we got all of the documents that they needed to read and understand, and then a ballot for them to vote yes or no.
Some worry the distribution will mean less investment money for future payouts, but Strong says cutting the general income trust in half won't affect the corporation's daily operations.
There's no impact to Kluck One Inc. This is the general income trust is a separate entity.
Shareholder Jimbo Stevens.
It goes back to the statements made in meetings and all that. All the stocks will go up, we're going to rebound, and while they can rebound with a lesser amount, it's just going to take longer to get to where we're at today. I'm sure we still have Long Island's got more timber now, put it that way. But the thing that kind of bothers me, several years ago we lost a bunch of money, and some of the board that were on the board are still there. What's up with that? So, you know, it's something's got to take hold, and it's about time shareholders got something to say and they're listening.
Some shareholders in support of the distribution are looking forward to managing the money on their own after news of mishandled money came to light. Again, Kluck One Inc. President Ralph Strong.
We reported to the shareholders on the audited financial statements that our past executive officer did transfer funds without authority from the trust to Kluck One Inc. There are no more funds being transferred to Kluck One Inc. because, you know, that executive was terminated for that cause.
A distribution like this has not happened before, although the General Income Trust has paid out to shareholders since its set up in the 1990s.
the trust is formed to provide distributions to the shareholders.
But Strong believes the worst is behind the corporation.
Well, I think Kluckwan Inc. will continue to survive. We're in a difficult situation because of how the prior executive left us, but we'll work our way out of it and become a good company again.
And in related news, Sea Alaska will distribute more than $12 million to shareholders this week. That's 50% more than last spring's $8 million payout. About a quarter of the money is from Sea Alaska's permanent fund and business earnings. Sea Alaska Treasurer Anthony Malott says the remaining three quarters is from the 7i pool of regional native corporation resource earnings.
A large component of that comes from receipt of 7i revenue sharing from Nana Corporation that Sea Alaska receives, effectively proceeds from the Red Dog Mine.
He says this year's larger spring dividend is due to higher earnings in the Land Zinc Mine near Kotzebue. Sea Alaska's urban and at-large shareholders will receive $716 each based on ownership of 100 shares of stock. Village shareholders will get $122 each. The difference, which is the revenue earnings, will go directly to village corporations, which can pass them along to their stockholders. Descendant and left-out shareholders also receive $122. Elders are eligible for an additional $122 payment. Sea Alaska's previous dividend totaled close to $10 million. Malott says that was boosted by resource earnings from two other corporations.
So in December of 2010, you had a pretty significant distribution of 7i revenue, and that constituted payments received from Arctic Slope Regional Corporation and a smaller amount from Siri.
Both are in the petroleum business. Sea Alaska also contributes to the resource revenue pool through its timber business. The Juneau-based corporation also runs its investment, plastics, government contracting, and environmental cleanup operations. A charter halibut organization is suing to block a new limited entry program that'll squeeze some of them out of business. But commercial fishermen and some other charter owners support the restrictions. Coastal Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The group Charter Operators of Alaska filed a complaint this week against the new rules established by NOAA Fisheries Service. The Homer-based organization also asked for an injunction to block limited entry program enforcement. President Jack Roskind runs Not Roughing It Charters out of Whittier in western Prince William Sound. He says the federally mandated limited entry program would kill his business and about 300 others.
They have the authority to regulate the halibut fisheries because it's a federal fisheries, but they don't have the authority to regulate state businesses that own business licenses and operate in the state of Alaska.
The program took effect in February, though it has been planned for years. It only affects operators in Southeast and the Central Gulf, the regulatory areas called 2C and 3A. The program requires those carrying clients on guided halibut trips to have a federal permit, and it limits permits to those who fished in 2008 as well as either 2004 or 2005. Some, but not all, of the permits can be transferred to other operators. The lawsuit seeks to include businesses in existence through 2010. Limited entry is part of a larger regulatory effort affecting charter halibut businesses.
In the long run, this is about conservation, but it, in itself, it was just one piece of a series of steps that we were taking.
Kathy Hansen of the Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance represented commercial interests on a panel that helped develop the plan. She says it was backed by more than longliners.
It was the charter members on the stakeholder committee that wanted the limited entry program. And it's the people who have started business since then because they weren't paying attention or they figured that it just wouldn't go through that are the ones that are complaining and filing a lawsuit at this point in time.
The program is one of several aimed at the charter halibut catch, which has exceeded harvest levels for several years. Southeast clients are also limited to one fish per day, which can be no longer than 37 inches. Commercial fishermen have also faced cutbacks as the overall number of large halibut has shrunk. Their share of the catch dropped by almost half this year. That's in addition to a 60% reduction over the previous 5 years, but they still have a far larger allocation than the guided fishery. Some charter clients fish also for salmon or combine fishing with sightseeing or kayaking. But for hundreds of operators, flatfish are the draw.
Everybody focuses on big halibut.
Charter operators of Alaska member Richard Friedman runs Sitka's Alaskan Song Yacht.
The experience of drifting on the bottom and jigging for halibut, catching a 25 or 30 or even a 60-pound fish is always a thrill for people who come from other parts of the world. And if we weren't able to offer that to our people, I think there's some people that would choose not to go with us and other people that would feel like their experience of Alaska has been shortchanged a little bit.
The case was filed April 4th in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. The plaintiffs hope for an injunction before the season starts later this spring. Meanwhile, NOAA Fisheries just issued a clarification on the limited entry rule. It says operators will not need a permit on board during a recreational halibut fishing trip if the guide is not being compensated. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
This is Tara Bicknell reporting for KHNS.